1069 WCTR, the greatest hits of all time. It's Thursday, and it's time for Pet Patter with Dr. Rachel Crockett. Good morning, Dr. Crockett.
Good morning.
I think it's a joke with everybody who deals with animals, whether it's a vet, whether it's a humane society, that it's always kitten season. There are always cats having kittens. And say you're somebody who adopts a new kitten. Just kind of go over some of the things to expect, especially if you've never had a kitten before. A new baby kitten that might be 6 weeks old has a whole different, I'm sure, set of things that you have to go through. And I just thought we'd kind of go over that and some of the expectations when you first take them to the vet and some of that.
Yeah, sure. There's a couple of different approaches, I think, with kittens at the vet. And one are ones that have been directly adopted up from a humane society or rescue of some sort. A lot of times they will have checked for intestinal parasites with a fecal. Actually, I don't think they check, but they do deworm. And then as part of their intake protocol. But also, depending on how the kitten was acquired, they might run a test looking for certain feline infectious diseases. So specifically for feline leukemia and FIV, feline immunodeficiency virus, which we have a test for that can pick up just from the cat population in general. We can screen for that and see. So some of those tests are already done if it's coming from a rescue organization or the Humane Society. We will do, if we're presented with a six-week kitten, and if it's had a clear FELV, FIV test, then we'll always check a fecal sample. We'll run, even if it's been dewormed. Kittens and puppies are very prone to carrying intestinal parasites just because their immune systems aren't quite as hardy as an adult immune system just yet. And so we're always screening for that. We take a little bit of stool. Either you present us with a little bit of stool from the litter box, or we have like these long skinny loops that we can actually go in rectally and retrieve one. But we spin that down, float it with a specific solution, and then can look at it under the microscope. And what we often see are eggs of intestinal parasites. So roundworms are really quite common, but you can get coccidia as well in cats. Those are probably the two most common that we see in kittens when they present. But so a fecal exam is one of the things that we're going to do with a new kitten. Certainly my exam of just different, a typical exam that a way I would examine any other animal. You know, teeth, we wouldn't expect adult teeth just yet, baby kitten teeth. Just making sure eyes are okay. A lot of times we'll notice, you know, kittens, depending on age and depending on where they, you know, their situation and their vaccine status, you can get a lot of these respiratory diseases in cats that you can see nastiness in the eyes and just respiratory, nasal discharge and the whole nine yards. I'm looking for that. How clear are the eyes? How, you know, are we sneezing? Is there any nasal discharge? And then checking for hernias, umbilical hernias in young cats and dogs. That's one of the things I'm screening for on that first exam. A little bulge in where the umbilical cord was. And then by 6 weeks, we really should have, if it's a male, two testicles descended into the scrotum, and then female. So just kind of your standard, you're looking for congenital abnormalities. So you're listening to the heart as well, making sure we don't have a congenital murmur there. And then the lungs, again, listening for any kind of abnormality with the respiratory tract because of those respiratory diseases that are so common in kittens. So examine the body, fecal exam, and then if it's a stray and they really haven't had any kind of intake at all or any kind of examination by a rescue, then definitely it's going to be recommended to do a test for feline infectious diseases, so specifically FELV and FIV. And that's a little snap test we have in-house. All we need is a few drops of blood. And it's run very similarly to a heartworm test that we do in dogs. And it takes, 8-10 minutes, and we've got a result on that. And that just, it helps us because, you know, if you're taking a kitten in and you already have cat, you need to know if this cat's got something that it's going to, the kitten's got something that it can transmit to the cats of your household. You just need to be aware of that. And also, from our viewpoint, it's important to know if we have something that's going to affect this animal's immune system so that we can prepare the owner for the types of respiratory tract infections, periodontal disease. Those are the two big ones that we often see in these cats that have these diseases like FIV and FELV. So expectations and then preventative measures, they're going to be around other cats. So that one's important too.
Is there a panel of vaccines that a young kitten would get, and what age would you give them to them?
Yep, and that's that. You're absolutely right. That's the next step. So a lot of times, Humane Society is they've given several vaccines by the point that they've been adopted, for the most part. So it's just about kind of, with them, it's just about kind of figuring out what age they were given what, make sure we're not lagging on any of the vaccines. But if we're presented with a kitten that's 6, and Humane Societies and rescues will start sooner on their vaccines simply because of the situation that they're bringing these kittens into. So, you know, they're going to be housed with a bunch of different cats from different backgrounds, and they need to make sure they're protecting that kitten all the sooner. But in a single household, somebody's presenting me with a kitten that's 4 weeks old, I'm not going to start vaccines yet. Don't typically start vaccines in kittens of single, you know, non-Humane Society, non-shelter situations until they're about 6 weeks old. And then we're starting with the very first in a series of 4. We call it feline distemper, but it's actually the FERCP, stands for, let's see if I can say this without tripping up, feline viral rhinotracheitis, Khaleesi virus, and panleukopenia. There we go. That's what the FERCP stands for. So a lot of those are your respiratory diseases. Panleukopenia is a terrible, it's kind of like the kitty version of parvovirus. It's a terrible kind of fatal viruses that cats can get. So it's really a combination. It's much more than just feline distemper. Combination vaccine. We give that at 6 weeks, and then we booster every 3 weeks after that for a total of 4. And then towards the end of everything, we'll give that first rabies as well, when their immune system can kind of recognize and have the appropriate response to build those antibodies to last for the year.
When do you recommend spaying and neutering for cats?
Good, excellent question as well. So at 6 months, a lot of most, if not all, unless there's extenuating circumstances, of the cats that you're adopting from Humane Societies and shelters are going to be spayed and neutered prior to the adoption most of the time. And the shelter situation is, again, kind of severe from that with our cats that are coming from forever homes. So shelter situation, they'll do it as early as around 8 weeks or 2 pounds. But when we've got cats that already belong to their forever homes, or kittens, excuse me, then 6 months. We say 6 months. And that just allows, you know, they're a little bit older to go under anesthesia. A little bit more development has happened with everything before we go ahead and do that. And we're still catching them before their first heat or before they're at the point, in the case of a male cat, that he's really marking his territory, which smells terrible in male cats, let me just say, or getting into trouble and straying and seeking out other females. Mm-hmm. 6 months.
And finally, when you're looking at food, because I know food is such a thing that we talk a lot about with dogs, but not necessarily cats. When you're starting your kitten on their food, what is a good gauge of how much they need, what kind of protein they need, and what the difference is as they age, and when you can change and hopefully take them off kitten food and put them on regular cat food?
For kittens, you want kitten food. And the reason for that is because you need to have the calorie density of the food needs to be pretty high. So kittens, because the metabolisms are so high, they're growing very quickly. They require a lot of calories. So you need something that's calorie dense, and that's where kitten food comes in. Kitten food should have more calories than your dog cat food. When it comes to, you know, canned versus hard food, there are varying trains of, you know, viewpoints on which is better. I go back and forth. I feed my cat hard food simply because I like what it does in terms of helping clean the teeth and just encouraging, just like dogs, good dental health. The crunching action can really be helpful with that. But our cats, you know, it's good for them anytime that they can get lower sodium food and just more water added to it of the canned food can be helpful for not only satiety purposes, but also just being easier on their kidneys, I think. Just these higher salt diets over time, I think that can play a role when we're talking about the kidneys. So it just varies. And the quality of the foods differ as well. So bear that in mind.
And then I think my last question is, so then do any of their vaccines that they get as a kitten, are there boosters, or do they come in before the year is up, or do you just have any of them that are a yearly booster?
So yeah, so we'll do the, let's take that 6 week kitten. We'll give the first one then. We'll booster that at 9 weeks, then at 12, and then at 15. And that really is it for the kitten shots. And then that we'll see them a year from the last booster. If we don't see them beforehand for their 6 months, either spay or neuter. But that first time, you know, after the initial series, that lasts for 1 year, and then when we booster when they're 1 year old and change, then some of those vaccines, the FERCP and the rabies, can last for 3 years, which is wonderful. They've got nice lasting power. So it's as long as we're giving that on time and we don't lapse in our boosters, really once we get to that spot, you know, if we're on time with the yearly after that initial series, then they can become nice long vaccines. Still a good idea to do yearly exams, but we don't have to poke them as much. Now, there is an elective vaccine that we give for cats, the feline leukemia vaccine, and those are primarily for cats that go outside just to protect them against feline leukemia, which is endemic in feral populations that can be there. Then that is given with the initial series. Not every time we give the distemper, but maybe at the 12-week and the 15-week vaccines, and then that becomes yearly after that. The response, the antibody response, isn't as potent as our feline distemper and rabies vaccine.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Dr. Crockett on a future show, you can email it to her to askdrc@wctr.com. This has been Pet Patter.